Justin Wayne.
Off the Fury and the Sound, that is Give Us Gold, that is Brenn, B-R-E-N-N, music.com, find them. Fantastic group. Welcome to the second half of the show. This is the soapbox segment of the show, the hour of the show, where there's a little bit more chatting, a little bit more talking. We've got Loft Niz from Loft Daddy's, and he'll be chatting with us a little bit later about their new EP and how they've been gigging around London. And I was, because I've been ill, I wanted to discuss something with you British people. Now, in the States, it wasn't necessarily in the States, it was a Canadian group that brought over Extreme Elimination Challenge, which was the little the poor little Asians that were in I think it was Takahashi's Castle or something was the original thing, but it basically is a bunch of Asians that are trying, or a bunch of people that are trying to win 10,000 pounds or win a million yen or something by doing these crazy stunts, you know, like kids do, except it's adults. And so they, two Canadians dubbed it in the States and obviously in Canada as well. And it was very, very funny. So we got to watch Extreme Elimination Challenge back home as well. And I found out today that there's a BBC version of it called Total Wipeout. And so I watched it today. Guys, you ruined it. What did you do? What were you thinking? It was so awful. I mean, well, it's all British people, bless them. Or maybe not all British people, but all people, you know, it's shot by the BBC in Argentina. But Richard What's-His-Face from Top Gear isn't even there commentating on it. It's just him. There's no, like, banter or anything. It's just him, blah, blah, you know, sort of going slowly on about what's happening. Really awful, guys. You ruined it. You ruined Extreme Elimination Challenge, and I'm very upset with you, BBC, and Richard, whatever your name is. You smell funny. But yes, and he even sort of does it like, oh, this is boring and stupid. Like, no, it's not boring and stupid. It's actually quite exciting and fun, and if it was edited properly and commentated on properly. It just was so upsetting today. And it was an hour. Oh my gosh, what a painful hour. That show could have been about 20 minutes and it would have been much, much better. I think the BBC just doesn't pay people to edit things. They just sort of like scratch their heads and, oh, I can put something into an hour. Yeah, anyone can edit into an hour. Edit to 26 minutes with two commercial breaks. Do it. It's much more difficult. Right, anyway. Let's get back to some music before we get to Loft Daddy. Irk mentioned that I played this song a little while ago and dedicated it to my wife. And he said, did you get hit? And I said, no, I didn't. So I said, sweetheart, I didn't get hit when I played this last time. So she hit me. And this is why. It's called Ball and Chain. This is an Australian band that Irk sent me, actually. Irk's mom actually sent me this, I believe, from Julie's Blast FM, which is exciting. Craig Morrison and the Little Cowboys. Once again, this is Ball and Chain. Not going out to the wife this time. Let's send this out to all of you in marriage who, I don't know, feel like you have something attached to you. All right. Anyway, it's the Justin Wayne Show.
some luck. A twist of fate, or just a coffee date, would suit me rather well. And those who regale me about fish in the sea can go tell someone else. No hunger comes my way unless they're attached.
Is Loft Daddy, and on the phone with me right now is the lead singer, and I've just been corrected, the rhythm guitarist, Niz. How's it going?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. We were just talking before. You've heard that the rhythm guitarist has a new rhythm guitar.
He does. It's beautiful. It's looking at me right out of its box at the moment. It's a Fender Telecaster. Which has got a three-tone sunburst finish on it, which makes it look nice and retro. And it's made in the States. I've got a special kind of humbucker pickup installed on the bridge, and a thing called a push-pull pot. So when you pull the pot up, it kind of it cuts out the humbucker pickup by half to give it that classic Telecaster sound. And when you push it down, it just becomes a lot more deeper and more kind of lower in tone, which is a sound that I like because I'm singing leads, but also like playing rhythm guitar, and I like it to be nice and deep down and dirty, you know.
Cool, very cool. Well, tell us a little bit about the band Loft Daddy and how you guys came together, and we'll play a song.
Well, the lineup at the moment is myself on lead vocals and rhythm guitar, and then we got Robert Logan on lead guitar and vocals, Matt Saunders on bass, and he plays a sampler as well, so he's got like this foot pedal jobby that kind of triggers different samples that often most of the samples we've actually recorded ourselves. So Rob, our lead guitar player, he plays the cello like to concert standards, so we kind of, you know, sample his cello and mess around with the sounds and sample my voice and that. And then we got David Westcott, who's our drummer, the bass player and the drummer, probably the two, for me anyway, is our finest rhythm section you'll find anywhere in London, maybe even the country.
Very cool.
But we got together in a previous incarnation. The first lineup was included myself and Matt, the bass player, and I'm speaking to you now from New Cross Gate in Southeast London, and I arrived here 11 years ago as a fresh-faced teen to go to Goldsmiths College University, and I met a couple of friends, and one of them introduced me to Matt, who came in as a bass player, and we kind of bummed around those 3 year university years playing the gigs in the area, kind of just giving really, really hot shows. I mean, I'm not sure what we were playing at the time was anything near as good as what we're doing now, but it certainly had the energy that we still got today. And through that kind of circle, we met Rob, who, you know, stuck to the band like glue, basically. And we've had a couple of drummers come in and out, and we got Dave involved about two and a half years ago now, nearly 3 years ago. And we've been playing as the four piece since, this is the definitive lineup since March 2009. And we've done a lot of gigs actually since just before then and after then as well.
Well, very cool. Well, let's hear one of the tracks and then we'll get to talking more about what exactly you guys have been doing lately and stuff like that. Let's play Dream. Once again, this is Loft Daddy. The EP is called Words.
Thank you.
right. Once again, that was Dream. And we are still on the phone with Niz of the band Loft Daddy. Now, that comes off the EP Words. And is this EP sort of just a taster for us? Is there going to be a bigger album coming out? Or how did this sort of EP come to be an EP? And how did it come together?
Well, basically, the slimmed down version of Loft Daddy, which is a four piece, right? That was in March 2009, and at the time, I think we had one or two of the songs that were kind of works in progress at that time, and Dream was definitely one of them, actually. The story of Dream was quite a weird one, actually. I was on a boat in Turkey, on the Anatolian coast, and we were on a day-long kind of trip out to this sunken city, basically. Like there was once this huge, like, you know, ancient city that there was an earthquake, apparently it sunk into the sea, and you could kind of see all the ruins from under the water, because the water's like turquoise and it's pretty transparent. And I just remember I fell asleep and I woke up, and I know it sounds totally weird, but I woke up with that riff, you know, the riff that comes in the picked guitar riff that I play, and it just came into my head as I woke up. And luckily I managed to remember it, because I didn't have a guitar with me. I managed to remember it, get back to London, and that became a song. And the rest of the EP kind of happened around then, really. Words, the title track, I believe we wrote that in about half an hour, in the place where we eventually recorded it. We've had this place called, well, we call it the school. It was about a 100-year-old primary school building, just outside London, on the Essex borders, out in the sticks. And we go there often, like, to play through the night, all day, because Dave was working on the site as a labourer, and he was actually caretaking the whole thing. So we ended up recording it there as well. And the engineer that we got was a guy that would record us at the Underbelly in Hotson Square. And he agreed to come down with his friend, and they brought their mobile studio down, and we recorded in the big hall. We went to the toilets, no less, to do the reverb on the vocals, to get that kind of really kind of old school reverb sound on there. Right. And it all came about in that building, really. Words was written about half an hour, Endless and A Different Smile, and History of the Future Simple was an older song, and kind of all. It's all quite organic, which I liked about it.
Very cool. It's a fantastic EP, and certainly something that you should feel proud to send around to people like us, radio people, and all sorts of other things that you're sending around to at the time.
I mean, the thing is, I listen to a lot of music, and we all do, and I do have a couple of records actually recently that have come out, you know, like this year, this month, last month. But I'm a DJ as well, and I play in some quite big venues, but we're not really kind of interested too much in what's going on around us. I mean, although we do kind of keep an ear to the ground, but I don't know, I kind of figure that what we do isn't really influenced too directly by anything that's going on. We don't really follow anything, so what comes out is literally, like, you know, I mean, obviously everything's got an influence, but what's coming out is pretty organic. We're not kind of going into the rehearsal studio, the recording studio, saying, okay, today we're going to write this type of song that sounds like this type of band. Right. You know, it's sometimes we don't even know what's going to come out tomorrow, but we're pretty happy with everything that's coming out at the moment.
Well, and it sounds like with the band that you have, the sort of classical and jazz influences, and yourself, there's quite a lot of different influences all sort of crashing together there that does create different sounds. There is,
I mean, like I said about Rob, he was trained classically, not just only on the cello, but also the guitar as well. So, you know, and he'd never played in a rock band. In fact, I don't think he'd played in a band before he joined us. So it was really nice to have that kind of level of musicality come into the band, which basically means you've got a lead guitarist that can, you know, make the most out of his instrument, and he's very, very good at finding different sounds on his guitar as well, and you know, and not by using too many effects either. You know, he's got a real kind of ear for it. Matt, our bass player, again, was I think he started on the double bass. He dearly loved a double bass. Actually, he keeps saying he'd love to go back to playing the double bass, but those things are quite expensive. You know, if you want to get a good one, which you'd have to have,
especially then lugging one of those around London.
You know what though? I reckon you should put a couple of wheels on the bottom of that case. You know, you could just kind of. I mean, Matt actually, his bass case, it's one of those kind of gig bag things. It's quite good, but he tends to wear it kind of diagonally across his back. And I'd been taken out in the face by it quite a few times, and I see a lot of people being taken out or having to duck on the tube or on the bus or something, you know. But you know, to look at Matt, you wouldn't really kind of start to have a go at him, because you know he's not that type of guy. You know, he's a peace loving gentleman. and Dave's the oldest member of our band, and he's been playing the drums for a long time, since longer than I've been around. And the best thing about it is that, you know, people are kind of quite, you know, not shocked, but like they're a little bit kind of surprised that we got a drummer that's, you know, a generation older than us. But also the best thing about it is that he brings this experience to the band and a feel for playing the drums. So, you know, it's very difficult to find elsewhere, because he's played with so many different types of bands. He's got a wide, you know, musical influence, and obviously he's kind of lived through, I don't know, what we might term the golden age of rock and roll and stuff. So, you're right. I suppose the different influences that the different individuals have kind of bring a nice feel. I'm the least qualified member of the band, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I taught myself how to play the guitar. I'm sure you can hear the difference between myself and Rob on the EP as well. But singing-wise, I've been singing since I was a kid. One of the best things my mum did was to kind of send me to like little music lessons outside school and stuff, where we just get together and sing songs with a lady around the piano and stuff, and Beatles songs and stuff. And you know, that was kind of my tutelage. I played the violin and the piano to a very low grade, but the guitar I picked up and played along to my favourite records, really. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have been doing a lot of live stuff, we'll talk a little bit about that. I also want to touch on the Quid Novenites you've been doing, and obviously they're in flux at the moment, because you've grown out of the venue you were in. So tell us a little bit about your live gigging and how this sort of Quid Nova thing came about.
Well, Quid Nova, with a question mark on the end of it, basically. It's like, it's Latin, and it means what's new, what's happening, what's going on, you know, we just kind of thought it sounded quite funny, we'd tack that on, call it the name of the night. And the first ever night that we had as Quid Nova was a party that, because Quid Nova was organised by us, but the first one we did was kind of co-organised with a good friend of mine, Tristan Blady, who's a club promoter, and we did the Carling Academy Islington, which I would imagine now is called the O2 Academy Islington, and it was certainly one of our biggest gigs to date, in front of about 850 people, and it was fantastic, you know, to be up on a big stage like that and play in front of that crowd. And it was the first time I'd crowd surfed at any one of my gigs, which was great. But after that, the Quid Nova brand kind of went to sleep a little bit, and then last year, October, so about a year ago, I took it on myself, and we did something local to where I am in New Cross, and we kind of, that was the Quid Nova that I still envisage in the future being, because we had the three bands on, we had the DJs, but then after that, I brought on burlesque dancers as well, and you could hear the sounds of all the jaws dropping in the venue for sure. But then we had it at a place called The Workshop in Hoxton, which is underneath a bar called Road Trip. And, it's kind of, we're just moving on to a different venue now. We're trying to find a new venue, basically, that kind of more suits what we need to do, which is basically turn it into a club night and stay open a little bit later. And, you know, know, so we don't have the bands on so early, because I know the typical thing is you go and see a band, what, between about 8 o'clock and 11 or something,
yeah,
like that, I would have thought.
That's true,
if you go,
yeah,
to a pub gig. But what I want to do is kind of take a bit of the club experience that I've become used to being a DJ and a promoter, and also meld it together with, you know, a live gig. So I think it would be a lot nicer for the reveller to have a band come on at, you know, the first band come on at 11 and the last band go off at 1:30, 2 o'clock, and you still got 3 hours to dance to the DJ, you know, rather than have the bands on early when, you know, people don't really kind of start going out till later on, you know. So it's more difficult for one of the downsides to going on at a more regular earlier time is that it's more difficult, certainly on a Friday night, to pull people down in London, whereas if you say you're going on at like 11:30, people are well ready for it by then, you know. We always do Quidnova on a Friday because we want to catch people coming straight out of work, and we want to give them a really nice option, you know, mm-hmm. once they come out of the daily grind. But yeah, we're kind of in the hunt for a new venue. But the main thing is, if anyone wants to kind of find out and keep in touch with us, we can be found on Facebook. There are two pages. There's the Loft Daddy page, LFTDADDY, and then there's the Quidnova-Loft Daddy page as well. So, you know, you can sign up to both of those and find news, and you can listen to tracks on the EP on the Loft Daddy page. We're also on MySpace as well. And our email address is loftdaddy@gmail.com. So that comes directly to me, actually. So you can have a chat with me if anyone wants to. But yeah, that's how to find out. And you know, if you just come join.
And his phone number is...
Sorry?
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
You're going to get my phone number?
Just kidding.
Well, you know, that would be quite interesting.
It's great that you guys are so open. That's fantastic. I shouldn't make fun of you.
But yeah, we, you know, if you guys link up to that, especially on the Facebook thing, you know, it's going to be updated constantly when there's something on and when there's not something on. And yeah, just sign up as a follower, is it, or a fan or something, and then immediately when something happens, you know, it'll be on your front page. So but we're looking to kind of be gigging towards the end of the year, and the details will be going up on the website ASAP.
Very cool. So yeah, that's all. That's all. You've given us all the contact information. The
sure.
The EP is available. Is the EP available on iTunes and stuff?
The EP is available on iTunes and Amazon MP3. We do have physical copies of it. If you want to get hold of a physical copy, the best thing to do is get in contact with us, and we will we'll kind of organise the transaction and the sending of a copy to you. In fact, the EP, like the thing that I like about it is that everything was done by us. We decided to kind of, you know, basically we've financed it off our own backs. We recorded it, you know, in a place that wasn't a studio, but with the equipment that we needed and the guy that we wanted to do it with, who was totally behind us. And the artwork on the EP as well was designed by Rob, who that's another string to his massive bow, actually. He's quite a handy artist, yeah. So that it's like a barcode. Basically the front cover is a barcode. If you go on iTunes, you'll see it. And the amazing thing is, it actually scans.
Oh,
well.
Right. So that scans as the record. That's very cool.
Yeah. So like when you buy it, like it'll scan and you'll scan it, or any barcode reader will scan it, basically.
Very nice.
Yep.
Well, Niz, thanks again for joining us today, and certainly look forward to seeing you guys live when you guys are back on the scene.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the other thing that I'd love to let the guys know about is that the reason that we're not out there at the moment is because we're putting together the tracks to be selected to record an album, which is going to be released in the new year. Obviously, there's not even a working title yet, but the songs are... I'd say they're kind of different from the EP, but they're kind of more... going down a certain path, which I'm sure you'll be able to understand when you guys eventually listen to it. We're using a lot more we're using a lot more instrumentation on it as well, and different effects that we weren't using on the EP, because the EP essentially was live. It was basically a live EP. Mm. But the recording process of the album will still be very much a live recording, but there's going to be a lot more textures to the sound. So it's definitely, as you asked me earlier on, was the EP a taster? Yeah, probably is. I'd say that the album is going to be like more of a, that's going to be the hallmark, the yardstick that we kind of would like to be judged by, and that'll be out in the new year.
Very good. Cool. Fantastic. Well, let's hear another one from the EP now. Thanks again for joining us, Niz. Appreciate it.
No worries at all, and have a nice bonfire weekend as well. Yeah. It's great that it's falling on a Friday.
That's right. It'll be a crazy weekend, won't it?
It'll be a crazy weekend, yeah, absolutely. It'll be very loud, so make sure your domestic pets are kept inside this weekend.
Yes. Well, let's hear the title track of off the EP. Once again, this is Niz. This is Loft Daddy. This is Words.
Lots of people get their signals from the setting sun. I feel like one of them. Are we having fun? She gotta hide.
Once again, thank you to Niz and Loft Daddy for coming on to the show this evening. Very big thanks to Room 9 for the extra exclusive tracks. Big thanks to everybody for hanging out and joining us. We do have about 7 minutes left. I thought we were just about out of time. We will make sure that Rodrigo de Sa and the Island Music Show get started on time. I was going to tell you as well. Loft Daddy has a show. Their next show is in Wimbledon at the Grove Tavern on the 16th of December. So do mark that in your calendars. Make sure you get set for that. The next two is from a man who I just liked on Facebook, and he said, "Thanks for liking me on Facebook." And I was like, "Well, I didn't realize that you could know, but I guess they do. I guess it just show up and on your little whenever profile things that happen in Facebook thing." But yes, so let's hear from Matt Addy, and then we'll wrap up the show.
You see all kind of things in a place like this. A matter of time before I fell through the door. There's two guys looking like Miami Vice, throwing the book at me. Losing all hope, losing all time. Is this the end of the line? Too long, man, got a shackle in for me. But you can't know freedom till it's taken away. I flew straight to the bars. Losing all hope, losing all time. Won't you tell me the crime? Too long, man, got a shackle in for me.
Once again, Matt Addy. Oh, yes, that is the show for me this evening. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And yes, big thanks again to Loft Daddy. Someone said something else, and I made fun of someone in the chat room. I make fun. Loft Daddy. Loftdaddy.co.uk. Go check him out. Yeah, thanks, Niz. Enjoy your new Telecaster. Telly button thing caster. Yes, thank you to Room 9, Lee and Angelo and the rest of the guys for those exclusive tracks. And yeah, it was a fun show, I have to say. Hope we should be back next week again. But I won't be live next week, actually. I'm going to be going to an open evening for a master's course. So I will leave you with a fantastic show next week. Don't you worry. There will still be something here at 8 p.m. Or from 7 until 11 p.m. There will still be a plethora of brilliant music, and my voice will be here to keep you company. Right. But that's it for me. Rodrigo de Sá is next. This has been the Justin Wayne Show here at Recharge Radio.
Independent radio for independent music. It's the Justin Wayne Show.
Get in touch. studio@rechargedradio.com. The best new independent music.